This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, at any time, if you'd like to call in, please do, 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. Listen, this is what I want to do today. There is a lot of hopelessness going on in this country. And I want to tell you why that this is taking place in this country is because you have your hope set on the wrong things or the wrong persons. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of my faith. Nowhere can you find in Scripture, friends, listen to me carefully, nowhere can you find in Scripture the Lord being unfaithful to any of his children, not a one. And it's interesting we don't spend more time on this when it comes to what should be preached from the pulpits. Rather than being led to believe that we're going to be raptured from responsibility, which there's so many that are in line in hopes that they're raptured from the times, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Even in my carnal mind, it makes no sense. If the Lord's going to raise up an army, he's not going to pull you out before the battle. But there's so much hopelessness going on in this country today. You know, the Chinese have a word. It's called crisis. And it has two different definitions. One means danger and the other means opportunity. You've heard me say quite a few times on this radio program, especially towards the end of the show, that God is willing to give the church what it's willing to fight for. But that's true. That's the history of the church. And we also know that God has never used a majority to prevail. He's always used a minority. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. It belongs to him. Never touch God's gold and never touch his glory. Period. It all belongs to Christ. I'm going to hit on this topic before the end of the show today. I'm going to talk about the church militant. Where is it? Because it's the church's job in this country to bring about answers to the world. It's not the church's job to magnify the problems the way that the government and the media are in hand in glove operating today, to oppress the people, to further add to more hopelessness in what's taking place in this country today. I've had a couple conversations just over the last couple days, friends, and I've heard it's all over. There's nothing we can do about it. Again, I ask you the question, when you look at scriptures like we are made more than overcomers through him that loved us, how is it that we're talking hopelessness if we belong to Christ? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How is it that you belong to Christ and yet what comes out of your mouth, friends, is hopelessness? You know, I've seen through the mythological figure of King Arthur, which many people believe that he was real, many people believe that he wasn't. I watched that documentary, and it was interesting to note that one of the guys said, you know, there's no worse death than the end of hope. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to keep our eyes single. or to keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith? Well, if he's the author of the faith, he's also going to be the finisher of our faith. And if he's the finisher of our faith, I don't see where he offers us hopelessness. And again, over and over and over again, friends, I hear people say there's nothing we can do about it. No, friends. No. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. You're not eating the bread of life. You're not drinking the wine of the Spirit. You're drinking the spirit of the world, which means to do just exactly how you're reacting to it, to oppress you, to leave you in a place of hopelessness. You know, friends, every day of my life, I have to battle probably the first 3 or 4 hours of the day in the sense of overcoming. And I know that David said that the Lord is the lifter of his head. And who went through it more than David did? I mean, read the book of Psalms. But the Lord kept lifting him out of it. He kept teaching him to overcome. And it was all in warfare. And I think that's the problem that people have today, is they're not caught up into the warfare. They're not caught up with the faith, with works. And you do the works because of the faith. You don't do the things that you do, friends, to get saved. You do the things that you do as unto Christ because you are saved. And it's interesting, when you're born of the Spirit, you do the things of the Spirit. And I don't see the Spirit anywhere in the Word of God teaching us gloom and doom, and there's nothing we can do about it. I don't see in the Word of God where it teaches us hopelessness. Here, I have a objective, and my objective is this: to finish what the Lord started. And the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in me will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm putting a little salt on your tongue right now concerning what I'm going to talk about during the last two segments. But folks, I want to tell you, if you're hopeless, it's because what you have your eyes on. If you have your ears and your eyes fixed on the lying CIA-controlled media, that's exactly why you're oppressed. That's exactly why you're fearful. And I want to tell you something, and I'm here to tell you, you're fearing the wrong thing. Read Luke 12:4 when you get a moment. Because as Dietrich Bonhoeffer rightly said, he who fears the face of God does not fear the face of man. But he who fears the face of man does not fear the face of God. We need to get this right, and we need to get on track. And the Bible clearly says that we are called to and through, and many trials and tribulations do we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Hey, folks, this is a testing ground in this earth. We are being proven to be fit for the kingdom of God. And if we're born of the Spirit, I can tell you this right now, friends, hopelessness is the furthest thing away from you. Your carnal man must be suppressed. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I must decrease that he might increase. I die daily is a process, friends, and everybody has to go through it that is called of Christ. And many people, even hearing me now, this is foreign to them. Galatians 2:21, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what comes to my aid right now is even Peter, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus, after the resurrection in John 20, said to his disciples, his apostles, he said, "Look at my hands and my feet." And they noticed that he was the resurrected one, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. He came back after 3 days from the dead, after the crucifixion. Can you imagine if Jesus was hopeless and he didn't go to the cross and he said, wait a second, not your will be done, Father, but my will be done. He would have never went to the cross. But because he did, he taught us, and he taught his disciples in John 20, as the Father has sent me, look at the holes in his hands and look at the holes in his feet. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he also said to Peter, friends, when you were young, you went whithersoever you wanted to go, but now that you're old, another will gird you and take you whithersoever you don't want to go. Because we're born in the Spirit, and if we're born of the Spirit, guess what? We do the things of the Spirit. And if you do the things of the Spirit, nowhere can you find in Scripture a doom and gloom and a hopeless message. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
The Sons and Daughters of Liberty. I know you've heard that name before, but who are they, and what does that have to do with the Sons of Liberty? The Sons and Daughters of Liberty are a group of faithful men and women who have decided to do something about the problems that we see in America today. They are those who have made it a point to faithfully support our ministry on a monthly basis. They have said, "I am tired of hearing about all the problems. It's time for me to be a part of the answers." They choose whatever level of giving is right for them and are consistently part of a team that is reaching this nation with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can be a part of it too. How do you join the team? Go to SonsOfLibertyRadio.com and click on the Spread the Word button. There are different levels of membership for you to choose from, or you can create your own and plug in the amount that's right for you. Join today and have the satisfaction of knowing that you're doing your part to create a better future for tomorrow and our posterity. We thank God for each and every one of our faithful supporters and hope that you will join together with us to restore this nation back unto Christ, the only hope for America.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, this is Judith Reisman, Ph.D., and I am visiting professor of law at the Liberty School of Law and president of the Institute for Media Education. Sons of Liberty is an important, incredibly valuable resource for anyone who tries to keep up with where our world has been and where it's going. I urge people to listen.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Well, welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We're going to be talking about the church militant. Where is it at? Here is the problem. The Bible clearly tells us, friends, that faith without works is dead. And there's too many people out there that are hearers of the word and not doers. And they're deceiving themselves. And that's exactly why they're in a state, in a place of hopelessness today. So let me just, because this does beg the question, where is the church militant? When you go over to D.L. Moody, you just think about some of the things that this famous Chicago preacher had said and has done. He said, have you ever passed through the furnace and been taught by the Spirit of God that your natural gifts go for naught unless you have the fire of heaven in your souls? You cannot go on heavenly missions without heavenly fire. Friends, when I do churches and I do events in colleges and high schools on the East Coast, I see these signs on churchyard signs all over the place, literally. Come on in here for revival. Come on in here and let's set your soul aflame. The Bible says that we're called to be ministers of the flames of fire. Rightly so. True that. And I see all these revival signs all over the East Coast. And the fact of the matter is when you listen to their message, you can understand why there's no revival. The Spirit of God doesn't revive that which has not first been killed. Until a man becomes nothing, God can and will not create nothing out of him. Look at the sacrifices of God. What are they? A broken and a contrite heart. They're preaching a false grace. They're preaching a lawless gospel, and they expect to have revival when they don't even drive them with the use of the law to the foot of the cross where they put their faith in Jesus Christ upon repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Okay, Galatians 3:24 and Psalm 19:7. Read all of them. They want revival, and yet people are alive unto themselves in their sin. And I think of, as this comes to my aid even now, I think about grace, where it talks about in Ephesians 2:8. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Yes, but what is the first scripture reference, Ephesians 2, chapter 1? It says that them that are dead in sins, we're dead to ourself. And if we're dead to ourself, then guess what? We're alive to Christ. And therein lies the problem. People have not been crucified. What did Paul say? I've been crucified to the world and the world crucified to me. What did the Lord say in 2 Corinthians 6:17? I'm sorry. He said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you will be my sons and my daughters. And I will be your God, and I will dwell among them. See, the problem is the people in America haven't come out of the church. I'm sorry, they haven't come out of the world as they go into the church. They haven't consecrated themselves unto the living God, and yet they want revival? How does that work? Wasn't it the Lord that said in James 4:4? He said that, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is at enmity with God? And yet you see the world today, in the church today, hand in glove, and then the church wonders why it doesn't have any power. Because it's not been revived. And why hasn't it been revived? Because it hasn't come to Christ on his terms. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:12, Acts 2:38, Acts 20:21. The list goes on. That's the message. That's the message. You know, when John the Baptist was talking to the soldiers and the Pharisees, it's interesting that he said, listen, let's just lay the axe to the root of the tree. Let's quit talking about all these branches on the tree. Let's quit being world friendly. Let's shut the door to the world and let's consecrate ourselves. Let's just lay the axe to the root of the tree. Let's bring forth repentance so we can understand what the Lord will and is doing to those that actually have been taken a hold of by him and his grace. So you see, there's none of that. I mean, you go into a church today, what is it? Seeker friendly. People go into church, they go into church for what they can get. And it's usually not the Lord's heart, it's usually his hand. And then when they don't get what they want from the Lord, then they get mad at the Lord, as if to suggest he's some sort of Santa Claus. In other words, Lord, you meet me on my terms rather than me meeting you on your terms. Jeremiah 29:11-13. He said, when you seek me with your whole heart, then you will find me. When you go to the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, and then all these things will be added unto you. We need to keep in mind the asking and the desire that we have in our heart is first when he gives us his heart through the new birth, John 3:3, when we're born of the Spirit. Okay? So many people have this carnal, reprobate understanding of going into church and asking God for something that will further keep them away from him in the first place. You meet the Lord when you are nothing. You meet the Lord when you are in ashes, friends. You meet the Lord when there's nowhere else to go but to him, and then you find out that that was the treasure that you were looking for your whole life. What does the spirit of the world say? I remember Jim Carrey said, you know what I wish for everybody in the world to have? Everything they want, only to find out it's not what they really want. That's exactly right. And you look at people that have been wealthy with the wealth of this world, and they're miserable. I mean, they're so poor, friends, that's all they have is money. They don't have anybody around them. They don't have real love. A lot of these wealthy people, they don't support the professed church in America because they know the professed church in America is admixture in the message that they're giving them. They know that they're being lied to by these hirelings. They know that these hirelings are doing what they're doing only for their money, to feed the golden calf so they can go before and say, hey, these be our gods, O Israel. These be the gods that delivered us from Egypt. When in fact it wasn't wealth, it was the blood of the Paschal Lamb, typified of that of Christ. Revival? Really? I mean, you want revival, but you want revival on your terms and not on the Lord's terms? It's not a spiritual revival. How many of these said revivals that have taken place in the United States of America aren't revivals whatsoever? It's nothing but hype. That's what it is. They build it up. They embellish it. They talk big words in the sense of what God always did some other time and what he's willing to do for us, and then they take that out of context. Case in point, I remember when I first got saved, I went into a church, and they had this evangelical couple up there, and they were talking just about the Lord this, the Lord that, and it didn't line up with Scripture, by the way, and I was a baby Christian at the time, but I knew in my spirit, in my heart, I knew, because God speaks to the heart, not the head. I knew in my heart something wasn't right. And they were talking about the healing power of the Lord. And the Bible does say that I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Bible does say I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he's faithful unto all generations. The Lord hasn't changed, America. We have changed because we want God to meet us on our terms, again, rather than us meeting on his terms. It's never going to work that way. Lot of grace, lot of grace, lot of grace. But it's interesting. Lot of the proud, grace to the humble. It's interesting. I remember there was a guy in this church and they were talking about the healing power of the Lord. And I remember this guy, he had something that wrapped around his cord. And you could see week after week this guy was coming into church and he was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And there's probably about 400 people at this service. And I was the baby, I was the trophy of the church during that time. And that was short-lived, by the way. Because I started asking them questions, why does the Bible say this, but you're doing it this way? Well, we just don't do things that way anymore. Well, the Lord hasn't changed. I am the Lord thy God. I changed not. Malachi 3:16, Hebrews 13:8. Who's changed? No wonder why he's not showing up. What is he to confirm your word? Or is he to confirm his own word on his terms? We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't take off the Lord Jesus Christ and put ourselves on and then expect the Lord to meet us on those terms. Okay? He's the propitiation. You are not. It's his will, not your will. I noticed this guy kept getting worse and worse and worse in church. And the first thing that was going through me, why do you have these people, these evangelicals, coming in here talking about the miracles of God, which are absolutely 100% true? But why is it that you're not praying for the sick in this room? Why are you not praying for the sick in this church? And everybody knew what I was saying at that particular time was going off in their consciences. We need to pray for so-and-so. We need to pray for so-and-so. So I raised my hand as a fool for Christ as I was and am. And I said, can we pray for so-and-so? If we're talking about the miracles of Christ, let's put our hands on him and pray for him. Everybody looked at me like a bunch of sheep. They looked at me like a cow looking at a new gate, like, how dare you? You could feel in their person they took a step back, like, okay, wait a second, this is going further than words. Wait a second. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how the Lord anointed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Remember when John the Baptist's friends asked? Remember when he asked, he had two of his disciples go to Jesus and say, are you the Messiah or should we expect another? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, go back and tell John that blind eyes are open, that deaf ears are open, that the dead are raised, the lepers are cleansed. Withered limbs grow back and all manner of sickness and disease is healed in my name. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
President Trump had a message for Speaker of the House Paul Ryan regarding the birthright citizenship issue, but out. The president said on Twitter that Paul Ryan should focus on holding the majority rather than giving his opinions on birthright citizenship. Republican Chris Kobach is running for governor in Kansas. He explains his interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
The 14th Amendment doesn't say all persons born in the United States are citizens thereof, are citizens of the United States. It says all persons born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens.
A rare polio-like illness continues to spread across the United States, puzzling healthcare providers and those who are investigating the mysterious condition. Dr. Nicole Sapphire joined Fox News to talk about the illness.
Kids are getting, they have a viral tick, a viral or bacterial illness typically, and then they're becoming paralyzed. Some are actually dying from it.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there, I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Just talking about revival right now, and how the church in America keeps talking about revival. I remember going to a big AG meeting in Missouri. That was short-lived too, because it was nothing but a bunch of hype. Nothing but talk. I remember going into the restroom of all places, and this guy comes in, and he was a pastor. By the way, a pastor has no business leading the church, friends. Read 1 Corinthians 12:28. First the apostle, then the prophet, then the teacher. There's the problem right there. The body of Christ has it upside down. Read Ephesians 11, 4, chapter 4, verse 11. But I need to take some ground here with the hour that I've been allotted today. And with that said, I just want to show you how Christ, the preacher of circumcision in the New Testament, remember in Romans 3, it talks about how the oracles of God were given unto the Jews. The moral law of God, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Romans 13, right? But let me give you an example here real quick, just to show you how this works. And you can go to John 8 as well. In verse 17, Mark chapter 10, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Okay. And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God." What's the first thing Jesus said, friends? Did he say, "God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life"? Is that what he said? Did he say, "Give us all your money and this is what God's going to give you in return"? As if to suggest he's some sort of idolater, some idol Santa Claus up in heaven? I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, the problem with the church and the things of God is oftentimes the Lord doesn't answer people because the very things that they're asking for are idols before him. And he will have none of it. Okay? just for the record. And what is an atheist, by the way? Which precedes atheism? What's an atheist? He's just mad at God. He knows God. He spends his whole life warring against the God that he tries to get everybody else to believe that isn't there. Read Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, listen, fool. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. Really? You know all the while, and you know all the why you declare you say you don't believe in God. Because you want to serve yourself. That's why. Repent for your sin, brother, sister. But the Bible says in verse 18, Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Whoa! You know, in America today, the Bible says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. I do events all over the country. As a matter of fact, next week and a half, friends, we're going to be over in Wisconsin. And then in Michigan. And then in Arizona again. But all across the country, I ask people, so can you name, how many people in this room are Christians? They raise their hands, a majority of them, easy. 99.9% of them do, easy. I'm a Christian. Really? Recite three of the Ten Commandments. They're bewildered. And the Bible says again, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. You love God so much, you haven't even studied to show yourself approved unto God? To know what his word declares? You know, I had a guy one time tell me, Bradley, you know, I really love the Lord, but I just don't have a desire for his word. Really? Then what are you feeding on? And no wonder why you succumb to the spirit of the world. Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. The seventh commandment, the sixth commandment, the eighth commandment, the ninth commandment, the fifth commandment. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I've observed from my youth. He thought he was going to do it in a soulish realm when Jesus was looking for the heart. Then the Bible says, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing you lack. The one thing the Lord went to. The one thing that was holding him back from the kingdom of God and from the Spirit of God was this. Sell whatever you have, Jesus said, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. There is the law driving men to the foot of the cross. And then he said, follow me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Folks, there's no, they're enemies of the cross in the United States of America. They don't preach the cross because they don't preach the law to the cross. The way Jesus just did, a preacher of circumcision, Romans 15:8. Okay, with that said, I want you to listen to this. And the rich young ruler was sad at that saying and went away grieved because he had great possessions. Where was his heart, America? It was on his possessions. What did the Lord go for? The one thing that was holding him back. What was Jesus doing? He was using the law as a schoolmaster to bring men unto himself. It's exactly what he did. This is biblical preaching, friends. How many times have you heard this in America? You haven't. For the most part. They're a bunch of anarchists, antinomianists. They have no regard for God's moral law. And it's a false gospel. It's a false grace. It's a false love all the way through and through. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of a hireling. It's the fruit of a reprobate. And you get a backwards definition because you're not empowered by the life of the Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 John, friends, chapter 5. He said, to he who hath the Son hath life. Okay? And the Holy Ghost is only going to bear witness to the truth, friends, not the lie. Not the lie. Okay? Going on here. Because I want to get to this. And it's important that I do get to this. Have you ever passed through the furnace and been taught by the Spirit of God? In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Most people teach preach that afflictions are of the devil, when in fact the Bible's very clear. As many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. You better know what voice you're listening to, America. In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me, Lord, that I might learn thy statutes. A man, David, King David, after God's own heart. In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me that I might learn thy statutes. You know, the Bible says to he who withholds the rod hates his son. You're being taught today the rod is of the devil. But yet the Bible teaches us just the exact opposite. It drives us to Christ. You know, all scriptures, 2 Timothy, the Bible tells us, 3:16, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God for what? Doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instructions in righteousness. Guess what's an offense to the American church today? The truth. Why? Because the Bible tells us that correction is grievous to those that forsake the way. They don't want to know the way. They want the wide and broad. They want teachers to itch their itching ears. They want to be told what they want to be told. They want to be entertained. They want to be told a little story of Jesus or Joshua and the walls falling down, or Noah and his little ark, and Moses bringing the children of Israel through to the promised land, as if to suggest it's somehow fictitious. And if you think I'm kidding, get on an airplane sometimes, friends, and walk up and down the aisle and look at what 86% of Americans that profess their Christianity are reading, or what they're playing. They're gambling on their phones. They're reading a bunch of gossip magazines fed to them exclusively by the CIA-controlled media. Folks, this is why we're in trouble. It's exactly why we're in trouble. See, again, if we would meet him on his terms, we wouldn't be in a position of hopelessness. Now, I need to get over this to stick to my point. Friends, I want to ask you, if you want a Kronos, Kairos, Kairos, Kronos moment, you're going to have to meet the Lord on his terms. The Greeks would say the Kronos, the fullness of man's time, and the Kairos, the fullness of God's time, came together and exploded with new possibilities. Through, let me remind you, an act of faith, of stepping out and believing God is going to meet you at the end of your faith. Because he's the author of your faith, he'll also be the finisher of your faith. As the Greeks would say, the Kronos, the fullness of man's time, and the Kairos, the fullness of God's time, came together and exploded with new possibilities. Let me explain. Hey, folks, what do you think if Moses just said, it's all over with, there's nothing we can do about it? What would you have thought of that? Well, the children of Israel, if he didn't obey the Lord, the children of Israel would have never been delivered. Right? What if any of the patriarchs in the Bible just said, you know what, there's no sense, there's no hope, we can do nothing about where we're at today? Just because in America you're hearing this more and more and more and more. And again, it depends on what you're feeding. Let me give you an analogy really quick. There's two dogs in a ring. The two dogs are put into the ring to fight to the death. Let me ask you, you have to answer this. Who's going to win the fight? Who's going to win the fight, friends? The dog that's going to win the fight in the ring is the one that you feed the most. As I said earlier, you feed on the spirit of the world, you feed on the media, their lies and their propaganda and their hopelessness, which they mean to breed, and their fear and oppression, which they are breeding on a daily basis, purposely, friends. You feed on that. No wonder why people succumb to the issues. I remember for years people watching Alex Jones. I remember people saying, man, I mean, and you would see them around, and they were like paranoid. I mean, these folks, they had bunkers. They were hiding out, and they were waiting for things to happen. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're not in times where we should be doing that. There's no question we should. But I want to tell you something. The message that Alex Jones gives is the fear of consequence, the fear of what man is doing. And it's a covering not of the Lord, Isaiah 30. And look at how he survives. What does he do? He feeds off the fear of the people to make the money that he does by selling products. Now, it's interesting. I've been on the radio for 17 years now. How many times have I asked for support? How many things have I put on my website to support the fear that I sell? Another one that does this is Glenn Beck. He feeds into the fear of man. And let me tell you, it's not a filial fear of God, which is healthy, as a son or a daughter to God. It's a diabolical fear, and it's terror-stricken, and it's not good. And you need to make the distinction, friends, of what you're afraid of. What are you afraid of? The only thing that I'm afraid of is that I'm not, throughout the duration of my life, going to see the fullness of the promises. But he didn't say that, did he?
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Karen from Harrison, Arkansas. My husband James and I are proud supporters of the Sons of Liberty radio program. We love the way Brad delivers God's word and how he brings in the Constitution to his ministry. We pray that your ministry will continue to grow and reach more people in the future. May God bless both of you.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
What if there was a social media network only for the conservative?
What if there was a social media network not only for the conservative right general public, but also a platform for conservative politicians and advertisers?
And what if the social media network was the only free speech network in existence?
There is. It's RightSocial.net.
RightSocial.net, a response to President Donald Trump's direct presidential order.
RightSocial.net, where you have the right to freely speak your mind.
RightSocial.net,
the right place to be.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Talking about fear, friends. How what's being preached in this country today is the fear of consequence. How the finger's being pointed to man rather than the Christ. And then Americans wonder why they're in trouble. I'm talking about what if right now, but I want to give you a couple more things to think about, okay? When we go back and we look at the patriarchs, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, okay? Hebrews 13:8. John G. Lake said Christianity did not go into the world apologizing. It went to slay the powers of darkness and undo the works of the devil, and it lived in holy triumph. First, it started with us individually, then corporately. Okay? George Whitefield, the great field preacher, he was the one that was right. As a matter of fact, Ben Franklin, for those that did not know, financed his ministry. He was a famous field preacher, and he was famous for preaching in colleges during the Revolution. He said, "The riches of his free grace caused me daily to triumph over all temptations of the wicked one." His free grace, okay? He gave himself to that grace. He was bought with the blood, right? The Bible says that we've been redeemed from the power of darkness through the blood of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay? He understood real grace. Ephesians 2, read it. "The riches of his free grace caused me daily to triumph over all the temptation of the wicked one, who is very vigilant and seeks all occasions to disturb me." There's the warfare. John Calvin said, many attribute him to be the very founder of America, friends. He said, "Whomsoever the Lord has adopted and deemed worthy of his fellowship ought to prepare themselves for a hard, toilsome, and unquiet life." There's the cross, crammed with very many and various kinds of evil. But he didn't succumb to it. He overcame. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, it is. But he didn't say anything about removing the cross, did he? Nope. He didn't. He didn't. Hey, folks, going back to what if. What if Moses said there was nothing that he could do and just lost all hope? I could go through Genesis all the way to Book of Revelations and ask the same question concerning every single patriarch. And only the goodness that you see in each and every one of them is the Christ. Okay? Well, let me go to more of a present time. Let's go back to the 1500s rather than 2,000 and 6,000 years ago. What if there was no Martin Luther and his Reformation? And by the way, for many of you that did not know, because of Martin Luther, agree with him or disagree with him, it matters not. He was prophesied by John Huss at the stake before he was burned, prophesying a golden goose. And guess who that golden goose was? Martin Luther. Because of Martin Luther, friends, just imagine if he said, no, I can't do this. I want to become a monk and I want to stay locked up in this room. No, Martin Luther obeyed God and he took it to the forces that be, that prophet, that apostle of God he did. And because of it, we have religious freedoms today because of his obedience. Just imagine if he said there's nothing we could do. Look what he went through. What of Oliver Cromwell? Can you imagine if he just let King Charles do the things that he wanted to do without recourse or recompense? Or maybe if you want to put it this way, reciprocity? I mean, look at Oliver Cromwell, dude. I don't care what your history is. Look at the message. He said, not man, but Jesus. Not man, but Jesus. King Jesus, friends, on his tomb. Just imagine if he said, nah, there's no hope. What if William Wallace, Braveheart, what if he just said, nah, let the king do what he wants to do. There's nothing we can do about it. We wouldn't be talking about him today. Matter of fact, before he got his head lopped off, he had the Book of Psalms laid next to it, for those that did not know. William Wallace, Braveheart. Now, I got a question for you too, all you hopeless ones. And I'm saying this in a positive. Can you imagine if our forefathers back in the 1700s said, this is it, it's all over with. Jesus is coming to get us out of here. Now I can, here's an answer back. I can hear someone saying, but Bradley, we're not going to get through this without trouble. Oh, there's no question about it. America is in trouble. America, it is raining the judgments of God. And for those that stand back and laugh about that, just keep in mind how Noah prophesied the judgment of God. That's why he built the ark. He obeyed God. He built the ark. And once it started to rain, guess what? Nobody was laughing anymore, were they? And 8 souls were saved, the Bible tells us. All right. But just think about this. What if our forefathers said back to God, it's all over with me, you know, Lord, there's nothing we can do about it. No, that's not what they did. They encouraged themselves in the Lord the way David did in the direst of times. Paul encouraged himself in the Lord. And also notice that Paul said, I subject myself to no man's power. He wasn't going to subject himself to the spirit of the world, first and foremost, and then give strength over to the arm of the flesh to rule him in his life. No, he kept his eyes single and he kept it fixed on the Christ. And remember in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he was always following Christ. He was the one responsible for writing 2/3 of the New Testament. But I'm talking about what ifs. Hopeless ones. Can you imagine again our forefathers back in the 1700s saying, this is it, it's all over with? No, our forefathers responded to God. They took heed. They paid careful attention to his word. They obeyed him. They bestowed upon, as a matter of fact, God, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bestowed upon them victory throughout the Revolutionary War. And again, remember our national motto is no king but King Jesus. Now, there's no hope and there's nothing we can do. I didn't see those flags. Those flags are flying around today. There's no hope and there's nothing we can do. Wait a second. Nobody was in the direst of times compared to our forefathers. And they have been set forth as an example before us in the footsteps in which we should walk. Read Hebrews 11 when you get a moment. Our forefathers saw the responsibility and answered the call. Are you? Because what bothers me is that there's many people that are hopeless that are not moving. You know, I remember a guy using an analogy. It was a preacher, and it was exactly right. I think I heard this. I may have read this. But, you know, remember the weebles wobbles, but they don't fall down? He said, notice the only time they fall down is when they quit moving. It's like this in parallel. You can't drive a car that's not moving. You've got to move. And in the process, move. And if you move, you'll see that the Lord will walk with you, that He orders your steps and establishes your thoughts. Right? And then when you begin to do that, go into the book of Psalms, Psalm 18, so on and so forth, Exodus 23, and you will see that the Lord promised victory. Look at how He fulfilled His promises to Israel. Not a word of the covenant was broken. Every single word was fulfilled. That's our God. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. He is. Okay? But our forefathers, going back to, they saw the responsibility and they answered the call. America, we can call upon the God of our fathers even now. And again, His name is Jesus Christ. And He will answer. 9 times out of 10, He'll answer in a way that you don't want Him to answer. But if you remember right, and you're born of the Spirit, it's His will, not your will. Remember the apostles, they had to wait in the upper room, the book of Acts, until the Holy Ghost came down and gave them instructions, right? And led them about. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, yea, these are sons of God. Romans 8. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. I'm praying that the Lord brings forth mercy in this country by bringing forth public judgments upon the heads of the wicked. Isaiah 26:9. Psalm 9:16 tells us that He's known by the judgments that He executes. Jeremiah 9:24, Psalm 97, the list goes on, friends. Okay. The Lord was with David, He was with King Solomon, and the kings. And 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, going even back to Abraham, because they kept judgment, justice, and judgment. Right, folks, our forefathers, in closing, did not lay down. They stood up and fought. They fought and secured their posterity, me and you. They did not fall to circumstance. They sought God, and God heard, answered, and set the record straight that, again, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God showed Himself strong on their behalf, and He'll do the same thing for you because He's not a respecter of persons. Our forefathers pledged the high cost of their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, and paid with their blood. Read the Declaration of Independence. Those are the very words. And paid with their blood to redeem us through their sacrifice, first Christ, then them, and we call them blessed. And the way we express our gratitude to these that gave so much is to honor them with our actions in magnifying what they died for. John Adams said, in closing, the second president of the United States of America, listen to this. Posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you'll make good use of it, America, because you have freedom today to do it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. How dare you be hopeless? The only way that you can live a hopeless life is when you keep your eyes off of the risen one, the one who sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, friends, and we have no king but King Jesus in America. He is the Lamb of God. And folks, He is our way to the Father who bestows all power to do what needs to be done.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.